views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Paramania, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
Standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds he sowed. And if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Let's shine your light for everyone to see. Narrow-minded streets. Don't walk around the down and out. Lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness that you show every day will help someone their way. You've got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Let's shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness. Narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded.
Bob Dylan was so eager then to get started. Jill, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Oh, dear. Morning, Alan, how are you?
Well, my excuse is I was up until 2 o'clock this morning doing another radio show. My apologies, listeners. And but the sun is shining in my heart, but it's pouring down a rain in Staffordshire.
Oh, same here, Alan. It's pouring down with rain and it's grey. But, you know, it's life in the UK. You've got to expect it. We've had some good days this year, so we can't be too ungrateful.
No, you're quite right. You're quite right. it's been an interesting week. Lots of things going on, like the same with yourself, Jill. I know you've had your husband's parents over, and you tell me that they're going back home to India tomorrow, but that must have been a really nice visit, because I know they've been with you for a little while, haven't they?
They have had a very good break, and they deserved it, and we've been very busy trying to, make them as comfortable as ever, and that's it. Yes, it's all come to an end on Monday, but yeah, I've been busy with a whole load of other things, Alan, you know. Launching the NSA in India, ending my second book. There's a lot of stuff going on, but you know, family always have to come first, and you do have to give them priority. But you know, I've still been, you know, definitely keeping up with the news and keeping up with virtually everything that's happening around us. And I was so, so happy to know, you know, that Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize for Literature.
That's right.
That is just amazing. I think he's the greatest transformational leader ever. Really, he's brought about so much change in the world. It's unbelievable, Alan, and he justly deserves it. I'm very pleased with that news, really and truly.
Well, you see, it doesn't always have to be somebody who is, shall we say, a politician, academic.
Yeah.
It can be anybody, really, isn't it, who is trying to do positive things for the world, and that comes in all shapes and forms. And with his charitable work, his messages through his music and that, yes, he's played a big part in, shall we say, world happiness, for that matter, enjoyment through his music.
Yeah, and you know, towards social change, really, Alan, you know, and both directly and indirectly, you know, through inspiring and influencing, songwriters and performers of both his own and future generations to come.
Yes.
That isn't easy to do, Alan. And, you know, so it's, to me, it's phenomenal. And I think he's amazing. And it was really nice to know that the world is now, you know, recognizing people like him. You know, it would have been great for, you know, people like Bob Marley and Michael Jackson and all those to also, you know, have received such awards. It's truly amazing, but sadly we lost them so early in their lives. It's very sad. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
So, Alan, do we play Bob Dylan's number?
Indeed, yes.
Just to start and pay tribute to him.
Well, it's going to be knocking on Evan's door.
Oh, what a number!
And but while we're playing that, our guest today. We'll bring on while we're playing it, Claire Baker, and
yeah.
She's gone through quite an ordeal herself, and it's about how she's coped with it and trying to help others. She suffered with terrible pain.
Well, yeah, Alan, you know, a little bit about Claire before we play Bob Dylan's great number. Claire is just a normal young girl who suddenly got hit by suffering with chronic fatigue syndrome and coupled with chronic pain. And she became so bad that she was actually housebound for a while. And it's very easy for us to talk about it, Alan, but I know several people who have not only written into the program this morning, but I also know several people who are suffering with chronic pain, and it can actually take over your life. But Claire was so amazing that she didn't allow that to happen. She actually went about finding a cure for herself using voice recognition. Just imagine that. And that's because she was just so weak to try any other way, because the doctors had completely given up hope on her. So let's wait to get Claire on, and, you know, we've got a whole series of questions, and so we hope that our program today is really and truly going to help listeners all over the world and people all over the world to deal with pain and, you know, this ailment that is, I know many people have written in saying they're suffering with. So let's play Bob Dylan, Alan, and then let's try to get her on.
Okay, will do.
Thank you.
Mama took this bed off of me. I can't use it anymore. getting dark, too dark to see. And I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Just like so many times before. I'ma wipe the blood out of my face. I just can't see through it anymore. Got a long black feeling and it's hard to trace.
Want to learn about how paranormal investigators use technology, what we use, and how it works? Then check out Tech Time with Brock and Doc every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam. Have grown and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. And if your breath to you is worth saving,
then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, 'cause the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. 'Cause the battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road's rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, 'cause the times, they are a-changing. It is cast. The slowest now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, 'cause the times, they are a-changing.
Some music to move your soul? Then sit down, put your feet up, and start rocking with Doc. Check the schedule for airtime. That's Rocking with Doc with your host, Dr. Dave, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
Dr. Dave gets everywhere. I was on Rocking with Doc at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock this morning with him. Hi, Dave. I'm Cee's in the chat room. Thanks for being there. I don't know whether he's been to bed or not. Knowing Dave, he's probably been up all night. Anyway, I digress.
Oh, that's
you.
Nice of him.
Yes, I digress.
Thank you. But thank you to Dave, of course, and thank you to Alan. And, you know, we're delighted because we have Claire on our show, and we've managed to get her on, Claire Baker. Claire, you know, we have very little time. Considering the a little bit of problem that we had to get you on. So we are going to really get straight into the questions, because I think this is a critical issue for people all over the world. And I have to start by telling you that we've received loads of messages already from people who are living with pain, and who are very, very keen to have or listen into the show, or either have us send them the link to the show. So all the best, and, you know, thank you. But let's start with asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so hi, Gillian and Alan. First, I just want to say thanks for inviting me onto the show and giving me a chance to talk.
Pleasure.
Okay, so my name's Claire Baker, and I live in Hertfordshire in England, just outside London, quite near to Jill, with my husband Keith. At the moment, I'm working with people who are struggling with pain and fatigue to sort of get to the root cause of the condition. So some people have, like myself, had chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia. Yeah. I'm also like really passionate about working with people who have just first got that fatigue or that pain that they don't understand where it's come from. maybe the doctors don't understand, or they've gone to sort of physiotherapy or things like that and it hasn't worked. Sort of try and get to the root cause of their issues as early as possible so that it doesn't have to develop into a situation as bad as I was in.
I mean, this is amazing, and I only say this because I know I myself, I'm not an expert like you, but I do try to help many, many people to deal with chronic pain. And I know that some people say that, well, Jill, you know, we call out at 3 o'clock in the morning and we just can't sleep. We can't, no medicine helps. Tell us a little bit, firstly, about this illness, both, you know, the fatigue as well as the pain. And what do you know about it? You know, talk us through this.
Okay, so both chronic fatigue syndrome and chronic pain are things that I guess the doctors don't really understand. They don't understand the causes of either, and they tend to be diagnoses of exclusion. So if someone has a lot of pain and the doctors can't find the cause, they will call it fibromyalgia. And if someone has a lot of fatigue and the doctors can't find the cause, they call it chronic fatigue syndrome.
Gosh.
But both of them have a lot of similarities. It's just whether the pain or the fatigue is worse, but both of them tend to have both pain and fatigue. And by fatigue, I don't mean that sort of being tired all the time. I mean, like, literally the battery's gone, you know. You know how when your mobile phone's sort of running out of charge, it'll go on to sort of a power saving mode and it can only do a few tasks. Can't do things it can normally do, and then if you do get a call, you don't get very long before it's completely depleted. It's a bit like that with the energy levels. You're very limited in what you can do, and if you overdo it, like, the battery runs out completely and you just have to spend days in bed trying to recover.
Wow.
Energy to do, it's really bad.
But so Claire, let's take, you know, you for an example, and of course Alan, you know, just step in anytime you want to ask Claire anything, but you know, I'm very intrigued to know more about this, only because like I said, you know, I feel so bad for people out there who suffer so much, and you know, we all have pain, but this kind of pain is different pain.
I can
imagine, Claire. And but tell us, how did you contract this illness? How did it start? How is it caused? Is it neurological? Is it blood related? Is it muscles? How is it?
They're both neurological. Mm-hmm. And both of them tend to have a common theme of a long period of stress, which depletes the body. Wow. And then you catch a virus or you have an accident which triggers the illness itself. So in my case, I had quite a bit of stress. I'd started a new job as an analytical management consultant, and I've probably been doing it about 6 months, and everybody in the office got a virus. And you know, I took a week off and I went back to work, and things just weren't the same again. I was getting pain in my leg, just walking, you know, much less than what I was, you know, used to walking every day. And I was just really so tired all the time. And but I didn't really like listen to the body. I did what most people do. I took painkillers. I drank Red Bull and coffee to kind of keep going and sort of push through.
Yeah.
Until I guess I managed about 8 or 9 months of doing that, getting kind of worse and worse. And then there was one day, I think I was working quite late. I worked about 9, I think about to quite late. And then the next morning, I just couldn't get out of bed.
Gosh.
I just didn't have the energy to,
So Claire, was this just like a normal virus in the office? Was it like just a flu virus or something like that?
Yeah, a normal virus.
Goodness me.
And everybody else recovered. I think from you know, the research I've done now, I think that the chronic stress just sort of it puts the body in a state where the immune system kind of, you're all ready for fight or flight. So all the blood's gone to the muscles, which get tight and pain, you know, ready to.
Yeah.
And it leaves the digestive system and the immune system and all the organs. So they're not getting the blood they need. So they're just not working properly. So over a long period of time, I think this is one of the theories. No one really knows for sure. But, it sort of depletes the immune system so that you can't fight the viruses properly, and so you're more likely to pick up viruses, and the body, because the immune system isn't working, isn't able to fight it as effectively.
How long have you been suffering with this, Claire?
Well, I first got this in 1999. Right. That was 17 years ago.
So, are you still in pain and you manage it, or have you found a way to actually alleviate it?
Oh, I've alleviated it significantly. I mean, I just still get pain occasionally, like everybody does. You know, if you overdo it, you kind of get that lactate build-up. But now I see it differently. It's a warning sign to me if I've been maybe pushing it or overdoing it or getting a bit stressed. And I've got the tools to actually calm down and manage it. But I feel like I don't really have, like the illness doesn't I don't know if I don't have the illness or the illness doesn't control me, but I just feel like I'm in a stage where I'm having to, regaining my strength gradually.
So,
doing more exercise and things like that.
The two questions that come to mind, Claire, is first of all, have you managed to alleviate it? And secondly, like everybody, I presume from time to time you might pick up a cold or whatever. How do you manage and deal with that? You know, when. Because, you know, if you're fit and healthy and you've got no, other problems, it can really bring your energy really down. Like I had it a few weeks ago and I couldn't do any of my shows. And I'm relatively fit and healthy and it really knocked me about. So the two things that comes to mind is how have you managed to alleviate it and how do you cope now with normal everyday viruses?
Okay, so to answer the first question, how have I managed it? So I'm just going to tell you the position that I was in when I first started to find the things that helped me to manage it. I was in every part of my body was in so much pain. It was like throbbing joints and heavy aching. So, you know, like you've got the flu. And I'd also contracted this nerve pain. So I had it down my leg, which was, you know, called sciatica, but I also had it down my arm, so I couldn't even move my arm without getting this shooting pain. And as Jill said, I started looking on the internet for just for anything, really. And I started listening to these teleseminars, and I came across a person called Dr. Bradley Nelson, and he really inspired me. He wrote a book called The Emotion Code, and he also had developed a program called The Body Code. He was a chiropractor who had found that, you know, when he was working with his patients, the chiropractic alone hadn't solved everything. And so he started to look at other causes, and he created this system whereby you would use something called muscle testing that chiropractors often use to actually connect to the body's innate wisdom, really, the sort of subconscious mind that knows everything about you and knows how to heal you and what the problem is specific to you. And he'd worked with a lot of people with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and he'd created this self-study course, and I just sort of in my gut I just felt, well, this is going to really help me. And so, first of all, I bought his book, The Emotion Code, which I would recommend to anybody. Just from the book itself, it teaches you how to muscle test, and it teaches you his process of discovering just one tiny part of the body code, but the emotions that might be at the root of pain. And so I just thought, well, I'll try it on. I mean, I had pain everywhere. I tried it on the shooting pain down my arm. It was about an 8 at the time. And I only did about 10 or 15 minutes. I released 9 emotions. And at the end of that time, the pain had gone down to a 4.
Wow.
And I was just, yeah, wow. I was, God. Wow. And there's something in this. So I used the emotion code a lot. And my pain levels came down and down and down. As I kind of got to understand as well what was causing the stress that I'd with problems. And I got his body code system as well, so you know, the work I do, which works on with the emotions, and I also do some work with beliefs. really helpful to do that alongside the nutritional work, the sort of structural, you know, osteopathic or chiropractic kind of work as well. Because, you know, like I said earlier, that the stress can block the body from healing viruses. It can equally block the body from being able to absorb the nutrition from your food. It can cause those structural imbalances. So by working with both sides and side by side, I managed to actually, you know, began to get a lot better. So I'd spent thousands on nutritional work before this, and I hadn't really seen any changes. But when I sort of pinpointed exactly what it was I needed, you know, I needed sort of herbs and supplements to detox, to deal with, I had some like parasites and viruses and mold in the body. And I use those things that I was were exactly what I needed. That's when things shifted.
Wow.
Got it.
But I do feel that the stress side is, as I say, the working with the emotion side is such a big part of it, because when you use a body code, you find, well, what's the underlying causes of this? And it so often goes back to those emotions and thoughts and beliefs. And I must admit that before I found this, you know, a number of times people have told me, you know, it could be your emotions, or I was a bit of a stress head and a warrior.
Yeah.
I can't say I've completely stopped being like that, but I'm a lot less stressy now. I didn't believe it. I you know, I was just like, no, it's physical. It's not a mental thing. And, you know, there's a lot of, where is it, physical or mental? I think it's both, you know.
Do you think it's connected in any way with, like, ME? Is there any connection there or not?
ME is the same as chronic fatigue syndrome. ME is what we call it in this country.
Yeah.
Syndrome is it's a more general name that it gets called, you know, around the world. But, yes, I was diagnosed with that.
Yeah. Claire, you know, I know this is a little bit of regression therapy, so please forgive me for doing so, but I really need to get to the core of what you're telling you know, our listeners and people around the world. So I want to ask you this question again before we move on to the next question, and I want you to describe to us a little bit more of what you really faced, your symptoms. And I know that, you know, you said you were housebound and things like that, so I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about the real suffering at the time. If you don't mind.
Okay. So when I first, you know, so when it first happened as well, in the very early days, the energy was so low that I couldn't even lie on my side in bed because I didn't have the muscle strength to hold me up there. I had to start just sort of lying flat on my back.
Correct.
And to get out of bed, like my ensuite bathroom, it was literally 3 steps from the bed. But it felt like you're trying to run a marathon or something. You know, it was just the effort of kind of getting up out of bed, or getting to the toilet was exhausting. And, you know, if I had to, you know, climb stairs, it, I mean, most of you used to joke it was like, you know, a mission of Mount Everest, you know, because you'd start off and you'd kind of get to the bottom of the stairs and I'd just have a little rest before I start and kind of get up a few steps and I'd have to rest again. I'd also be crawling up the stairs. I'd only actually been going out with Keith for about a week when I first got it, but we had been friends for over 4 years before that. And you know, he would come over, he'd cook me dinner, he had to help me with things like washing my hair because I just couldn't lift my arms up above my head. You know, cleaning everything.
I'll tell you something.
I always made sure I could get to the toilet, but I was pretty, you know, I was limited in what I could do.
When you think about it, he's certainly shown how much he loves you, isn't he?
Yes.
Oh, what an incredible man. What an incredible man. Amazing. You know, I don't know many men who would stick around, really.
No, I don't. I really do feel blessed. You know, it's kind of when we got married, it's very strange to me, you sort of say, in sickness and in health. And you've had the health bit, and you're kind of saying, well, okay, if I get sick, I'll still be there. But, you know, it had been just sickness most of the time. But having him around really made so much difference, because he was kind of quite positive and he could lift my spirits. And just having someone to talk to or listen to music, or as I got a bit better, a bit more energy, we'd sort of play a game. And sometimes I'd be sort of just telling him, like, this is a move I want to do. And you have to actually do the moves for me. But, I'd always sort of been quite analytical, and so although obviously my physical body had gone down, you know, they say use it or lose it, I really tried. I wanted to kind of keep using my brain in some way. So we started to play a lot, you know, a lot of board games and things like that. Where I made a lot of mistakes, but it didn't matter. It was just fun things that we could sort of kind of do together. And, you know, I do think that's important. So with my company, I call it Happy, Healthy, Empowered, because I believe kind of focusing on those little things that make you happy, what you can try and do as you build up your energy levels, is to do those things. You know, sometimes I see things on Facebook where people say, oh, I was doing really well, and then I did the vacuuming yesterday, and I'm, you know, I'm flat out again today, and I just think, why did you waste your energy on the vacuuming, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing, you know. He sounds such an incredible person, Claire. You know, maybe we need to get him on the show to tell us how he has a mindset to, you know, help someone through such an ordeal. You know, I know what it is. So, great, you know, amazing. But Claire, tell us about the part when, you know, the doctors really couldn't help you. They couldn't help you. How did that make you feel, and what inspired you to want to help yourself? How did you do that?
Okay, so I think so initially the doctor sort of tried, and you know, I mean, I recently was in my doctor's, and there was a student doctor in there, and he was talking about, I mean, he didn't really have anything he could do other than try and give some painkillers and some sleeping tablets, things like that, how people sleep. And I got referred to an NHS hospital where it was actually a hospital for integrated medicine, so it was medical doctors, but they were doing alternative treatments because there just wasn't anything conventional. And when it got to, I think it was like 2008, 2009, and the pain, I was getting a lot of pain in my shoulder. At this time, my energy had improved a bit, and I was trying to do work, but I just started to get more and more pain in my shoulder, and so it was recommended that I have an operation on my shoulder. And I thought, well, this will solve the pain, and then I'll be able to work again. And it actually made things worse. I just started to get this shooting nerve pain down my arm. I couldn't even move my arm, just the agony. And, you know, I went to all the doctors, the doctor that did the operation, physios, osteos, and none of them had anything. And so work started to, because I'd had some kind of insurance scheme at work, so it had helped me to kind of keep my job, even though there were long periods of time when I couldn't work at all.
Yeah.
But they sort of went to the doctors, and the doctors just said, no, you know, there's nothing we can do for her. She's never going to get well. And it just, yeah, I mean, it kind of felt hopeless. And at first I did try going to a specialist kind of fatigue syndrome clinic, and I did some nutrition, and that was really where I learned about the impact of stress. And they did some things that used NLP, but they didn't really work for me. But I think it started me off on looking at other things. You know, I started off, as I say, searching the internet with just using the voice recognition. And I discovered sort of teleseminar series on different subjects and sort of pain and things like that. And they did this energy psychology, and this is where I came across this Dr. Bradley Nelson. But it was just, I was only, you know, sort of in my 30s, and I thought, this is not going to be me for the rest of my life.
I was going to ask you.
I was going to find something. I was just, you know, just that.
I was going to ask you, Claire, how long did the, shall we say, shall we call it the recovery, over what period of time did that take from you first discovering?
Okay, so it took me probably about... It took me about 4 or 5 years, but that was because I was discovering tools one bit at a time. So I discovered, you know, sort of the body code and the emotion code, and that brought my pain down quite a lot. But I was still very much, had a lot of fear about the pain coming back, and I sort of held myself back, and I still, you know, spent a lot of time at home. I very much had that, you know, I'm illness mindset. I was very afraid to overdo it and end up going back. And it's funny actually how sometimes you just meet a stranger and they just say the right thing, or you know what you need to hear. Yeah. And we just had a lot of builders around our street, the roofs were being replaced, and the roof of our house was there was a lot of problems, and they had to sort of come and do some work inside. And one day one of the builders on his own, he just said to me, you know, just be happy. And I was thinking, well, how can I be happy, you know, I'm in so much pain and I'm ill. And then he talked a little bit about his own story, how, you know, he was like the really smiley, happy, you know, approachable kind of builder that he'd always go to ask of what was going on. But, you know, he said he hadn't always been like that. He'd had a lot of issues, and he'd done talk therapy work. But when he talked about his emotional pain, I could tell he was still feeling it, even though he understood how it was affected him. And it made me realise, really, how lucky I was that I discovered the emotion code, which, you know, when you think about something from the past that still affects you, and you can feel those emotions in your body, and I could tell that was still going on for him. What the emotion code does, and a lot of the other sort of energy psychologists, it actually removes those sensations from the body. So when you think about it, what happened, it doesn't affect you anymore. So I think, in part, some pain might be just lots of these things being triggered, and you don't really know what it is, but you're just feeling all these sensations and things in the body that just feel very uncomfortable.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and so that emotional pain can be perceived as physical pain.
Yeah, that's right. They say that when you have pain, that's actually your body talking to you and telling you, you know, to release a negative emotion.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, I read about this, yeah.
Yeah, that's very much my work. Sorry, I talked over you there.
Yeah. No, but Claire, you mentioned that this is basically more of a neurological illness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about the neurological part of it, a little bit, and I know we can write a book here, but we don't have time for that, but just a little bit. And also, most importantly, Claire, think of it like this: you have a person suffering with fatigue and pain, and, you know, really in chronic pain in front of you, and they're asking for your help. What kind of techniques and help could you give that person, well, right away to help them?
Okay. So the first question about the neurological thing, I'm going to be honest, I don't really understand all of the, you know, what the medical people think.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
a lot of research. They don't really understand what is going on.
Sure.
So I can't really talk about that too much. But, I think it's to do with the nerves and things like that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
A firing, sending wrong signal.
Yeah.
So the second question was, you know, how would I work with people and what kind of advice would I give them? So, as I say, I do this emotional code work. I also do a lot of work with something called Psyche, which looks at beliefs, but actually changing those beliefs at a subconscious level.
Hmm.
And that enables you to kind of perceive things differently. So instead of seeing them from fear and stress, you can see them in a more positive light. I completely changed my mindset. You know, they always say it's good to think positively.
Yeah.
That's very hard when you're in that situation. And my natural way of thinking, I was quite negative, I guess. And I learned these tools that could quickly change lots of beliefs. There's like this thing called the core belief balance that it had things like, I can, which is what you want to believe, or I can't, which was what I believed, or, you know, I deserve to be happy, or I deserve to be unhappy. You know, just these sort of things that we learn really in child, you know, even, sometimes even as child, these core beliefs of, you know, I'm not good enough, or ways of being in the world. Switching those around for me, that was one of the things that I suddenly started to look at things a lot differently and a lot more positively. And so there's another big piece of work I did, which was similar, but it was like the beliefs of people that are naturally of healthy and long living and successful, and seeing where you know, whether you believe the positive or the negative, those beliefs. And I was, again, you know, weak to most of the positive ones and varied on the negative. So a lot of the ones I was weak on the negative as well, but I didn't really have, you know, by that time I didn't have the strong positive beliefs that I needed to believe. So changing those beliefs actually really kind of helped me change the way I was thinking about the illness and started to sort of focus more positively on, you know, being happy and actually...
Yeah,
the stress came down. So I would say to people, the first thing that they need to do is to actually sort of look at dealing with the stress. So there's like the immediate stress would be to do a lot of common things, deep relaxation and breathing. So give them some tools that could quickly sort of bring down the anxiety levels.
Yes, anxiety. It can be very. What's the word? Deliberate. You know, it can really stop you doing things. It can almost make it so everything is just too much, isn't it? I can understand.
Yes. I think that's the thing that I looked into some of the sort of pain research, and they talk about how when we feel negative emotions, we feel our pain much more. Yet when we're doing something that we enjoy that makes us happy, we don't feel. We kind of don't notice the pain so much.
Yeah, of course.
And the underlying things are exactly the same. The underlying condition. So.
So a little bit of an example over there would be, you know, if a kid falls down and, you know, hurts his knee, and his mum, you know, turns his attention to something else and makes him laugh, he's forgotten about his knee being hurt, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's about changing your focus. And also, you know, there's this beautiful saying, Claire, where they say, you know, if you continue to do what you're doing, you'll continue to get what you're getting. So if you continue to live in an emotional world, and you continue to think negatively, then obviously you're clocking up the neurological connections that form neurological pathways.
Yes.
But, you know, so pain obviously is another, you know, pathway. And if you don't change those pathways and you don't change those neurological connections, then obviously you're just asking for more of the same thing, right? So that's basically...
It's like the saying that you can't change a situation from the same level of thinking that created it.
Exactly, exactly. So you've got to really come to terms with, you know, what is it you're doing negatively every single day? What is really bothering you? And to try to attend to that first before you attend to the physical part of things, right?
Yes. I mean, there's a person called Dr. Bruce Lipton, who, again, he really inspired me. He does a lot of work on... He was a stem cell biologist. Hmm. And in his work, he realized that it wasn't actually the genes that affected us so much. It was more our beliefs. He wrote a book called The Biology of Belief.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's because our beliefs determine whether we are coming from a state of fear when we're putting all these negative chemicals into our body, and that has all those physiological effects we talked about earlier, or where you're seeing something as a positive, maybe a challenge, a growth opportunity, and you're putting in a whole different set of chemicals that are, it's like oxytocin, things like that, that are conducive to actually allowing the body to heal.
Yeah.
So it's always the person's body that heals itself. The work that I do is helping them sort of get out of stress to enable their body's own healing mechanism to work more effectively. So we sort of identify what is blocking it from working. And, you know, I really do believe that is really helpful. It's not, I don't sort of do anything really to the person. It's just about helping them. And, you know, I sort of mentioned the muscle testing, sort of getting in touch with their own subconscious mind as to what is going on. And it enables us to really sort of pinpoint exactly what is contributing to your issues. And they will be different for everybody. But I think that's, you know, what
so
I...
That's core to the healing process, overall healing process. Mm. So Claire, give us the names of some doctors or some books, something like that, just 4 to 5 that, you know, our listeners or people can buy and really start to educate themselves. I think that's going to be very, very handy.
Yeah, so the Emotion Code by Dr. Bonnie Nelson, I highly recommend. The process in it is very simple and you can learn to do it yourself. Okay. Psyche, which is what I use for change beliefs, because it's also what Bruce Lipton used.
What's that called again? Sorry?
Psyche. So it's spelled PSYCH hyphen K. That is about changing the beliefs at a subconscious level. And it's very important that it's at a subconscious level.
Okay.
Because even though at one point I was doing lots of work and I really believed I was going to get better, but I wasn't. Actually, when I tested at the subconscious level, although it was, yes, I wanted to and it was possible to, I got this message that it wasn't safe to. So again, you have to understand why something's being held in place. Like I do believe sometimes it could be kind of giving you a message that something's not quite right in your life. So just somewhere it said, the Emotion Code, that's Bronnie Nelson. I would highly recommend reading The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. Yeah. Or if or watching his videos online. He has lots of videos online. Mm. So if you're not well enough to sort of physically read, you know, just watch some, a video and get all the information that you need. If people go to my Facebook page, I've actually got links to one of his videos. And there's a video on there as well about, from Bob Williams, about Psyche. So they are three things I found really, really key.
Thanks so much for that, Claire. But, you know, we have two very big questions and I am conscious of the time.
Okay.
So first is, definitely, please, I know many people would want to get in touch with you and follow you and, you know, get help. So please give us all the contact details you can about yourself. And then let's end with asking you. So first give us that, then I'll ask you the real big question.
So my I call my company Happy, Healthy, Empowered because that's how I feel the work made me feel. So my website name is www.happyhealthyempoweredalllowercase.com. My Facebook page is www.facebook.com. It's B-E, Happy, Healthy, Empowered. And yeah, through there, you'll be able to find, you know, me, Claire Baker, and you can follow me as well if you're interested in finding more. I will be beginning to put out a lot more information, I think, for people now because I'm kind of getting more interest and I'm sort of going to get a bit more active at sharing. So in there, I share videos. I'm going to start doing actually a series of practical sort of tips and tools that people can use. So if they do go to my website, I think all my Facebook page, you can subscribe to my newsletter, and I'll start actually sending out more tips to people, practical exercises that they can use themselves that take, you know, 5 to 10 minutes tops.
Perfect.
Help. Yeah.
Oh, that's going to help people. I'm going to put loads of people in touch with you, and I'm sure, you know, over this program and the podcast, loads of people are going to get in touch with you. But tell me, Claire, this is the last question, and this is a big one, and I know it's hypothetically speaking. Do you really believe that with all the research you've done and the study you've done, and of course, more importantly, you healing yourself from such an illness, do you think that there is a possibility that, given, of course, much more research and, you know, all of that, that we can cure, you know, major illnesses like cancer and things like that in time to come?
Okay, that is a tricky question. I think that actually activating the body's own healing response could be quite key to these healing anything, really.
Wow, that's
yeah, because that. I think sometimes we're taking medications, but they actually may suppress it. I don't know. This is a tough one.
Yeah. It's about feeling.
I certainly know that sort of I've read things that sort of people are saying that maybe, you know, that positive mindset can be very helpful in curing cancer. And I think that may be related to this sort of getting out of stress and allowing the body to heal more.
Yeah.
Whether people are going to find like a cure, I think sometimes people are looking for the magic pill, and it's the same with ME and chronic fatigue syndrome, that, you know, they're sort of trying to find a specific virus or a specific pill that's going to cure it. I'm not sure that is going to happen. I mean, certainly I realised that I was not going to wait, that I felt that it was being more proactive, that it was a systemic breakdown of the body, that actually working on the stress and that kind of thing helped me so much to actually allow the body to heal. And, you know, even now with medications that, you know, can help certain diseases, they don't help everybody. So, again, I think that maybe that sort of our own healing ability is coming to play. You know, we talk about the placebo effect and people who heal because they believe they're going to heal.
Exactly.
I think that's an important part that maybe isn't really considered in all the medical research. But if they look at for a more integrative approach that looks at not, you know, just medications, but, and not just stress, but nutrition and exercise, the whole lifestyle thing, then you know, then maybe.
Unfortunately, we're virtually out of time. Jill and Claire,
I was waiting for Alan to say that.
Claire, quite seriously, it's been really Very, very interesting and informative, and I'm so, so glad that things are getting a lot better for you, and now through your own experience helping others, I think that's amazing, don't you, Jill?
Oh, absolutely, Claire. You know, I put out that quote yesterday on the post that I posted, and, you know, it said, there are two types of pains, one that hurts you and the other that changes you. And this is just amazing. It's changed you so remarkably. And, you know, I honestly feel so much better today. They say, you know, get up every day and do one golden deed a day, Alan. And I really think that you are remarkable, and you are going to go forward and help so many people with something that is so required in our world. There are just millions of people suffering with pain. And I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show and sharing your story, and then now going forward to help so many more. So thank you for that.
And thank you so much for inviting me. Yes.
Well, we'll go out with Phil Collins, and until, well, we won't be here next week because I'm going on the jolly. Hannah and I are going on our holidays.
Yeah.
we'll be back the week after. But thank you, and it's bye for now.
Thanks, Claire. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We had such expectations.
Now, this is really weird because I lined up Phil Collins and The Life That's Chosen Me, Karen Taylor.
That's fine.
Good. Now, we're still live. I'm just explaining to everybody that for some reason, you know, perhaps it's spirit there. The Life That I Have Chosen seems quite appropriate in some way. Really strange.
Does. Very much so.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye. Different plans. So I need for you to understand. Don't desert me. Don't ignore. I need friends now more than I ever did before. Show compassion, but please don't pity me. I'm a parent just like you, it's true, but I have special needs. I need you to notice that my life's different from yours. I need you not to judge me. Don't compare and don't keep score. I'd love an extra pair of hands or just a hug or two. I need you to acknowledge that I carry more than you. You got the world here on my back. So I just thought I'd take for granted comes so hard for me. I'm a parent just like you, it's true, but I have special needs. I need answers, I need help. It's so much work, and a miracle or two sure wouldn't hurt. Did before. It's not the life that I'd have chosen, but it's the life that's chosen me.